It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Talk about the XFL now. There's some Penn State connections in the league. We have discussed previously Matt McGloin's connection with the New York Guardians. But also, I think there's a little bit of a buzz in these new football leagues. I know this is a reboot, so it's not new. But these new football leagues, they can be a little splashy in the first couple weeks. And then you get into the real nitty-gritty of sustainability. And I'm a big believer, you know, the difference between the XFL surviving and not surviving being that, can quarterbacks play or not? You know, yes. And I saw this thread come up. Quarterbacks, you're not getting the cream of the crop. So if you're not getting the cream of the crop, then are you able to mask the fact that you're not getting the cream of the crop? And that could be the big difference between the XFL surviving and not. We're not really here to talk about the sustainability of that league, though. Some of the things that were buzzy to start, I think, are really, really intriguing new, fresh approaches to playing football. A couple rules tweaks. And, you know, we talked about in the context of Matt McGloin, the having a microphone in your face the moment after you do something either prolific or terrible, and what the merits are of that. But there are also some interesting rules adjustments that I think any football league, I think the NFL and college football, those institutions are a little bit too ingrained in traditions and their own thinking to acknowledge these things. But I think some freshness for football wouldn't be the bad thing, especially when it comes to like overtime, for example. I think overtime in both the NFL and college football it's something that you should take a look at, any new fresh perspectives on that.
Yeah, and I think you could classify the XFL new rules two ways. One of them is, hey, this is strictly for television to draw eyeballs. You sure. Reference getting to Matt McGloin right after things go bad. That makes great TV. Don't think we're going to see that kind of thing in college football, that kind of access. But some of the other things that they looked at, like the overtime rule, I think is really fascinating. Now, you know, when football went to the overtime period and you get the ball at the 25-yard line, inherently there's something unfair about not being the team that gets when you're the team that gets the ball second, you know what you have to do. So yeah. You have an inherent advantage. In the NFL, there was such an advantage to getting the ball first, scoring and winning, they had to change that rule so a field goal didn't count for the win. So the XFL, if I understand their overtime rule, it's you get five independent opportunities from the five-yard line. If your team scores on that three times and mine does twice, you win, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a very fair way to do it. I'm fascinated by it. I'm giving that one a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't think there's anything more gimmicky about the way that they do overtime than college football. You're not looking at purity of the game. It's a bastardization of the game no matter what. If you're going to get it from the 25, for example, I'm okay with going five possessions. And I think more times than not, I feel like the better team or the team that executes the best will win it in that five-round situation. And I think it's a pretty entertaining way to look at it.
I do too. And I think when you go into overtime – right now, when you look at college football, you look at the NFL, you start to say, I'm not sure it's fair. I look at this and say, it's fair, and it's no more gimmicky, like you said, than what college football does from the 25. I'm very good with that one.
And I think that is what you boil this down to is what is the XFL doing out of sheer necessity to stand out from the crowd, to get people engaged with football at that time of year, to be entertaining, to bring sort of that WWE element to it where it's got sort of a raw entertainment value, even if the quality of the football suffers a little bit because inevitably it's going to. I look at overtime as something that has some legitimacy to it, if only because no overtime football has legitimacy to it. There are gripes to be made about the way the NFL does it. There's gripes to be made about the way college football does it. Why not consider some other stuff too? I like also the extra point situation.
I'm all for it.
A play from the 2 yard line is a point. A play from the 5 is 2 points. A play from the 10 is 3 points. It brings out elements of strategy that are just inherent there. If you're a coach who's going to go for two frequently, it makes you less of an outlier, you know, than it does to kick the extra point. I don't think, you know, the NFL making PATs harder from the 33, is that really a solution?
No, but what it was, it was a concession by the NFL that the extra point in the way it was set up traditionally was obsolete. It's automatic. They make it 99% of the time, so we needed to change it somehow, and it went out to the 35.
But to emphasize the kicker more?
Correct.
Yeah.
Again, it's not nearly as entertaining as this is. Now, my only question would be is if you're encouraging teams to go for two or for three, the fact that the 2 point is back at the 5 yard line, whereas it's closer in the traditional NFL or college football. I'm looking back to this past year when was it North Carolina, Clemson, and North Carolina chose to go for two for the win when they were down 1 point after scoring late. Would they have gone for, which I thought was a very exciting play. I think it should be encouraged. Would they have gone for 2 points in the win if they would have had to be back at the 5 yard line?
I mean, it's basically from a lot of stuff is on the table when you're from three. When you're going from the five, that is going to take probably a good chunk of run plays off the table. Like, you have to run a legitimate play to score from the 5 yard line. Yes. You have to run a pretty sophisticated play to score from the 10. Like, I don't know how things have shaped up in the first couple weeks, but I would imagine the risk reward is going to suggest going for two from the five a lot of the time. Going for, you know, there's a lot of risk going even from the 2 yard line to get 1 point. Why not add just a little bit more risk and go from the five for two? You know, going running a play from the 10, that's got to be a pretty good, crisp, well executed play to get. To get the answer from the 10-yard
line. I think we're only going to see that when a team is behind and the numbers work.
Which that's the next layer of it is that now being down 9 is a 1-possession game. Being down 18 is a 2-possession game. That's where it gets kind of interesting late in the games, especially with the rules adjustments, which we don't really have to get into because this would never happen in college football, but of having a comeback period where it makes it a little bit more friendly for the offense to come back in these 2-minute situations. But it brings a whole new element if you're trailing in games.
It does. And hey, that adds more excitement to it. You give the team an opportunity. Now, I know there's before we get into some of the kicking things, which have changed and maybe too radical, although, to be honest with you, on the kickoff, they're trying to limit the danger on kickoffs the way they do it in the XFL, where the kicking team actually is at the opposing team's 35-yard line and have to wait until the kickoff is fielded. It seems like they're going after that, the collisions where if you have the running start for 30 yards, the collisions are going to be much more dangerous. The other one that I think is getting a lot of attention, you referenced earlier Matt McGloin, you know, being mic'd up, and that's obviously a for TV concept. But the one as a fan that I really like is the camera and audio in the replay booth.
Oh yeah.
Which all the other, right now in college football or the NFL, when you go to a replay, we have to listen to the announcer's booth and their conjecture. And I was watching,
including the replay guys who are all but, I mean, worthless. How many times are they sharing something about the decision making that you couldn't have like seen with your own eyes?
Well, the one replay that I saw this past weekend, it was player, he fought for a first down, got hit really hard, fumbled the ball or had it ripped out from him, and the guy who ripped the ball out then ran down the field, and there was a lot of extracurriculars after that. But the initial play, they're doing going to replay, and I thought it was the original offensive player. I thought they were looking to see if he was down before he gave up the ball. What it turns out they were looking at, and I learned this instantly because we had the camera and the audio in the replay booth, is they were looking to see if the defensive player who ripped the ball out and ran, you know, 30 yards downfield, was he down by contact? So in my brain, what I was looking for really was not the case. And I got up to date very quickly because of that camera and the audio in the booth. It was fantastic. I was not left just wondering. I knew exactly what they were looking at. I think that's an incredible advancement. I would love to see that.
That's never going to happen.
Oh, come on, Dusty. That's never going to happen.
The number of times that we or other people like us have vented about the Big Ten not making any statements ever. Like, they don't want you to know anything about it. They don't want to admit fault unless it's absolutely necessary. They don't want to show you them making a mistake.
Well, I get that, but I think the flip side, if they actually gave it some thought, is by seeing what they were looking at and why, you understand what they're looking at. You understand their angle on this, whereas if you just leave me blind and a result comes out, you go, wait a minute, why did they decide that? There was another replay where
– they don't have to explain it. If they had to explain that better, if they were forced, if the Big Ten official, if the official who made the call had to give a press conference afterwards, then what you're suggesting about adopting something like this, that's more realistic. They don't have to do that now. They don't have to confront anything that they do wrong.
I'm the one who pays for this, all right? I listen to their commercials. I buy tickets. I should know what's going on and what that replay official is doing.
I don't disagree with that.
And candidly, I think they would in the ones that I've seen, again, it was a small sample size, I thought they came off really well because you could see, you could hear the thought process why they're going down this path. And I would go, oh, okay, now I get it because I was exposed to it. I saw it. Dusty, I think it would be the best thing in the world for both college and the NFL to pick that up.
It runs counter to the objective of them trying to make an imperfect process, an inherently imperfect process, still seem perfect. You know, nobody wants that. I want it. You want it. The people who decide it, they don't want any part
of that. But can't they learn that, you know, we're going to question them more if we don't know the process?
They don't have to answer the questions anyway. So that's the whole point. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That was fun. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. Ask Dustin is coming up after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.